Hey, it's Payne. I want to share a message from our sponsor, Spot Pet Insurance. Sometimes unexpected vet bills can hit hard when we least expect them. And if life throws you a curveball and your beloved pet needs urgent medical attention, the vet bills can start piling up. Enter Spot Pet Insurance, the ally you never knew you needed. Spot Pet Insurance plans can offer up to 90% cash back on eligible vet bills, providing a safety net when the unexpected occurs. Life can be unpredictable, and so are the needs of our furry companions. Spot Pet Insurance understands that. With Spot, you can focus on the things that matter, knowing that your pet has coverage to help protect your wallet from those unexpected vet bills. Spot Pet Insurance plans don't just offer coverage for unexpected accidents and illnesses. You can add their preventative care benefit to your plan, ensuring that routine wellness, vaccines, and more can all be covered too. It's a shield against the unexpected. If you have a pet, consider Spot Pet Insurance, because having the right resources at the right time can make all the difference. Just go to spotpet.com. Paid ad from Spot Pet Insurance. Waiting periods, annual deductible, coinsurance, benefit limits, and exclusions may apply. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
Hey, Tenderfoot listeners. I'm Liam Luxon, host of Status Untraced, a new podcast brought to you from the team behind Up and Vanished. It follows my investigation into the disappearance of Justin Alexander, a survivalist and world traveler whose life seemed like it was torn from the pages of an adventure novel. While some of Justin's friends and family believe he may have been murdered, it's not clear what actually happened. And a message he left behind just days before he vanished makes everything about his disappearance just strange. Check out this clip featuring one of Justin's friends and their recollection of their final conversation with him.
It was one thing that kind of made me feel weird about whenever he'd talk about his plans for India. And the more I've thought about it, especially over the years, it almost seemed like he was preparing for something because he wanted to be famous. He made that openly clear, like that was his end goal.
When you hear the message Justin left behind, when you hear about the remote and dangerous area where he went missing, when you learn about how the suspects and the police's efforts in this case all quietly started to fade away, you won't be able to stop wondering, what happened? From Tenderfoot TV, Status Untraced is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, or subscribe to Tenderfoot Plus to binge the entire season ad-free. Learn more at tenderfootplus.com.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to our first trial series Q&A. You all sent in a lot of questions, and I don't blame you. Let's get right into it.
Hi, Up and Vanished crew. This is Jennifer calling from Middlefield, Connecticut. And first, I just want to say you guys are doing an awesome job. I'm completely enthralled with this case, and I'm so glad that you're covering aspects of the trial. My question is, does anybody on your team find it as odd as I do that Ryan's confession is pretty much an exact replication of the episode that you did covering Bo Duke and his account of the murder? I just find it odd that his confession sounds so much like that episode. Like the two could be put side by side, the script of the episode and the confession could be put side by side. And what you guys presented in your findings is pretty much the same thing as what he sat and told GBI. And I just think it's odd, and I don't think it should be held up in court because it's clearly not something that holds any weight. So that's my question. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome, and I'll keep listening. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, that's a pretty good question. I think they're so similar because the version of events that we got to begin with was from Brooke, Beau Duke's girlfriend at the time. And either they're similar because it's what happened, or is at least what Beau knows to have happened. It seems like Beau was either privy to what Ryan was going to say to the GBI, or at least what information he did know was in fact true, and Ryan just said that. Either way, it's a great point, and they're very similar. But if you look at the timing of all this back in Season 1, we received our version of the events from Brooke, and this was after Ryan Duke was arrested, which means it was after his confession, too. So it is possible that other people knew what Ryan Duke said, or was going to say.
Hey, Up and Vanish crew. My name is Corey Albanese from Boston, Mass. I'm wondering how Beau obtained the confession. I know the reporter said the leak was legal as long as he obtained it legally, but how did he obtain it if the GBI was trying to keep it under wraps? Thank you, and keep killing it, guys.
Thanks for the question, Corey. It's one a lot of people have. So now we know that Beau has actually leaked a written summary of Ryan's statement to the GBI. Let's keep in mind he did not leak the actual statement, some of which the GBI didn't even bother to record. What was leaked was a document written by someone with an interest in the outcome of the case, actually, and this document purports to describe the contents of the actual statement. Whether it's an accurate description of that statement or not is an open question. That said, Beau had access to the GBI case file because he was indicted, albeit in another jurisdiction, in connection with Tara's death. And as a defendant, he's entitled to access to that evidence, just as Ryan is. So he simply cherry-picked the parts he wanted to leak, and he let it fly. There's nothing illegal about it. What was his motivation? Well, I'll leave that to you folks, the listeners, to decide for yourselves, but I think we can all agree that it's in Beau's interest to make Ryan look as bad as possible in the eyes of the jury pool.
Hey guys, this is JT calling from Utah. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of the show. My question stems from my feelings about this whole thing. I don't really know why, but I have in my heart, I want Ryan to be innocent and I want Beau to be guilty. I don't know exactly why I feel that way. Curious if the circles that you're in, the people that you talk to, if there's any similar feelings there or if you're hearing anything else that's similar to that. Obviously, if Ryan is guilty, then my feelings change about that. But that is how I feel. Anyway, thanks again and love the show.
Well, JT, I think there may be a lot of people who feel the way that you do, and that's understandable, particularly considering the horrific nature of the new charges against Beau Dukes. I think it's important, though, to hit the pause button, at least for now, and not reach any hard and fast conclusions about anyone's guilt, certainly not based on emotion. Because as of now, they're both presumably innocent and they will stay that way unless or until they are convicted in a court of law. In fact, jurors would be told that they have to base their decisions on actual evidence and not to decide anything based on emotion. One thing that I hope doesn't happen, though, is for Tara's innocence to be forgotten. While everyone is getting all worked up trying to sort out what role, if any, these two clowns had to do with her death, it's important to remember that she is the innocent victim here, and this tragedy is about her. A prosecutor friend of mine told me just yesterday, as a matter of fact, that regardless of who the actual killer may be in this case, in that prosecutor's opinion, and he's unrelated to this case, not even anywhere near the jurisdiction, in his estimation, they both should rot in prison forever. And frankly, there's a lot of people who justifiably feel that way. So he's not alone.
I'm pretty sure a lot of people feel that way. I personally don't want anyone to be innocent or guilty. That's not really how I feel about anything. I think it's easier for people to imagine Beau being the guiltier party, purely based on his past behavior. We all know way more about Beau's questionable behavior over the years, and also his questionable character, and that's a nice way to put it. I think that based on our perceptions of these people, it's probably easier to assume that Beau Dukes is a guiltier party here, but by no means at all does it make it true. I think because of Beau's criminal past and his now widely known character, it just seems to make more sense that way. And all that, in addition to unanswered questions, could lead a lot of people to feel that way.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Hello, this is Brianna from Tennessee. I was curious if you think the physical evidence is enough to outweigh the confession of Ryan Duke. Is that, do you feel like that's enough to prove that he is covering for Bo? Just curious. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, Brianna. Thanks for the question. I'm glad you asked it, because if you go back and watch the Bond hearing, and I say that with air fingers quotes around bond hearing, you'll see that on cross-examination, Agent Shadell was forced to admit that if you take out the statement, all that's really left is evidence of disposal, not evidence of murder. Keep in mind, though, that there is a very incriminating statement, and I'm purposely avoiding calling it a confession because I'm not sure that it is one. In any event, the defense maintains that it's a false statement or a false confession. False confessions are very real, and they're more common than people are aware of. I expect you'll hear more about false confessions in the upcoming season 2 of Sworn.
Hi, I've been listening to the Tara case, and I don't know if this has already been brought up, but if Ryan Duke went into her house, she had an indoor German Shepherd, and I kind of feel like that German Shepherd would have tore him apart. And so what's the status of the dog at the time? Has anybody brought this up? Maybe you guys have already talked about, I don't know. But I'm just thinking German Shepherds aren't really passive dogs. When I first heard the case, I thought maybe she had a lap dog. But yeah, if she had that dog inside, I don't think that dog will let him being there. Anyways, I love your podcast. Thanks.
It's a known fact that Tara did have a German Shepherd at the time, and the dog's name is Dolly. I've heard several conflicting accounts about whether the dog was inside or outside, but either way, the house is tiny, and the dog was there. To me, it seems like no matter what, the dog or Tara would have been alarmed if someone was entering the house, especially late at night, unexpected. The whole story of Ryan going there at all by himself and entering the home and killing Tara is just beyond strange to me. And if in fact the dog was inside, you would think he'd be barking immediately. I'm hoping that some of these details will come out in the trial.
Hi, I'm Caitlin, a listener from Colorado, and I was just wondering how the process works for Ryan to change his defense and how that might look for him in court if, you know, the state can use that against him in any way. Thank you. Love the show. Bye.
Criminal defendants have a constitutional right to counsel of their own choosing. Ryan is indigent. That means he's got no money to hire a lawyer unless one, or in this case, three, volunteer to do it for free. He would be represented by the circuit public defender. In no way can his choice of attorney be held against him or even made reference to in court. Ironically, however, Ryan is actually being penalized, and in a substantial way, because of the representation he has chosen. The district attorney has, in my opinion, made a mistake by opposing the allocation of public funds to cover the expenses of expert witnesses, investigators, and the like. And the judge also, in my opinion, has committed reversible error in denying those funds. Ryan would have had access to all of that stuff and all of those resources if he had stayed with the public defender. So, in essence, by exercising his constitutional right to services of counsel of his own choosing, he's being denied the full ability to mount his defense. I think it's illogical to say, as the district attorney has said in court, that since Ryan has opted for private counsel, he has somehow foregone public funds for the other parts of his defense. That just doesn't make logical sense to me. His status as indigent has not changed. In the event of a conviction, I think this is very likely to be reversible error for these funds to have been denied. I've personally represented as private counsel people who were in fact indigent, and we've had judges approve the payment of public funds to cover the necessary expenses that always go along with major criminal litigation.
Hi, this is Rachel from Tennessee. First of all, I want to thank you for shedding light on this case. It's been very eye-opening, and I do appreciate all the effort and time that y'all put into it. My question is, do you feel a certain sense of responsibility towards Ryan at this point? And I only ask that because as a listener, I sense a sense of responsibility. Like, I want for the truth to come out, knowing what we know about Bo at this point. Do you feel like we, you, me, listeners, everybody has a sense of responsibility to help Ryan get out of this situation? Thanks.
Absolutely not. I feel like the only real responsibility that I have is to report the facts, the truth, and all of my genuine findings. I never found Ryan Duke, or Bo Dukes. The GBI found those guys. I've never felt like it was my responsibility or moral obligation to advocate for anybody or anything in this podcast beyond Tara Grinstead, and simply finding out the truth of what happened to her. The reality is, I don't personally know exactly what Ryan or Bo did. All we have is their telling of the story, which seems to always have big gaping holes in it. Even if I thought or felt one way about a particular person here, I never want to let that influence how I tell the story.
Hi, Up and Vanish team. This is Emma from New Jersey. I'm wondering, what is the possible sentence that Bo is facing? And what about Ryan? Thanks. Love the pod.
Bo and Ryan are now each facing life in prison, plus a hell of a lot more on top of that. Since Ryan's case is not a death penalty case, he faces life without parole if he's convicted of murder. Likewise, Bo now also faces a potential sentence of life in prison for rape and everything else he's charged with all over the state of Georgia. I could break it all down with more specificity, but suffice it to say, there's a really good chance that neither of them may ever breathe free air again.
Hey, Payne, this is Matthew in Dallas. We're just wondering down here if you've been getting any threats from any of these buggers since breaking all this news. I'll hang up and listen.
These buggers. That is a hilarious term. Thankfully, these buggers have not sent me any threats since season one. I think after season one ended, the dust has settled a little bit in Osceola, and some of those people have calmed down. I think everyone as a whole, especially in Osceola, are ready for some sort of conclusion here. They're ready for a verdict. They're ready for justice. I think at this point, we can all agree on that.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
What if your partner developed 21 new identities? Or you discovered that your friend who helped you through the darkest times was actually a conniving con artist? Or what if you began seeing demons everywhere, inhabiting people around you, including your son? What would you do? I'm Whit Misseldine, the creator of This Is Actually Happening, a podcast that brings you extraordinary true stories of life-changing events told by the people who lived them. In our newest season, you'll hear even more intimate first-person accounts of how regular people have overcome remarkable circumstances, like the man who went to jail for 17 years for accidentally shooting the person who tried to save his life, to a close friend of the infamous scam artist, Amanda Riley. These haunting accounts sound like Hollywood movies, but I assure you, this is actually happening. Follow This Is Actually Happening on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can listen to This Is Actually Happening ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Hi, this is David, just outside of Atlanta. The question that I have is, why has this taken so long to either get the trial, or it seems like it's just nothing is happening? So, but maybe I'm just out of the loop, but I'm looking forward to the next episode, but that was my main question. Why is this taking so long? Thanks.
I don't know. It's taking forever. Ryan Duke was arrested over 2 years ago now, and we're just now at the point in April of this year that there's going to be a trial. I know that things in general in the legal system tend to take a long time, but this to me, like you're saying, seems a little too long. This is one of Georgia's biggest unsolved cases, and I think the prosecution and the GBI definitely want to do this the right way. But 2 years, over 2 years, seems kind of ridiculous.
Hi, this is Paul from Ohio. I love your podcast. I've listened to all of Up and Vanished and both of the Monster Ep podcasts. Just amazing. They got me started on podcasts. My question is, is there any indication that Tara was involved with Brian in any way, romantically or otherwise, or if she may have let him in, I'm sorry, to his house? And also, what is the recipe for the cowboy cookies? Love the podcast. You guys are doing an amazing job. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Honestly, I really don't know. Beyond Ryan Duke's own account of that, there's no evidence supporting that. I definitely don't want to speculate on Tara's love life with someone like Ryan Duke. And the only reason we've even talked about that is because Ryan Duke himself is making that claim in one way or another. At the same time, Ryan Duke is being charged with murder, so bending the story in some way could potentially benefit him. Is it true? I don't know. Hopefully more details emerge in the trial.
Hi, my name is Tracy. I'm a nurse from San Jose, California, and I have a question regarding the leaked confession and the telephone call that Ryan supposedly said he made from a payphone at a convenience store to Tara's home after he supposedly hit her, just to make sure that she didn't answer the phone and that she actually was dead. How would he have known her phone number? Is that something in Osceola that is published that he could get his hands on? It does kind of give merit to his story of sleeping with her if it's not easy to get a hold of. I wasn't sure what to make of the original account of another former student being apprehended at her home, stating that he slept with her. Can you please refresh us on the details of that situation? Thank you so much. I adore Ashley Merchant, and I'm so excited to see her in action at trial. She's going to do an amazing job. Thank you so much for the podcast.
I actually had heard a rumor about 2 years ago that in Ryan Duke's alleged confession, there was one detail about it that made it seem very true. And it was this phantom call from a payphone at a nearby gas station to Tara's house. The GBI had never publicly released that information. And so the fact that Ryan knew about that brought some real credence to his story and his confession as a whole. But yeah, how he got Tara's number, I don't know. Either he knew it because he called her often, or maybe he called 411 or information from the payphone to find it. Either way, good question. Hopefully we answered your question, but if not, we'll be having another Q&A episode down the line. So keep calling into the UAV voicemail line. The number is 770-545-6411. And stay tuned because next week, the new trial series episode will focus on Bo Dukes. Thanks for listening.
Why, hello there. Welcome to Radio Rental. If you're new around here and haven't heard, I'm your host, Terry Carnation. On Radio Rental, we play tapes of the scariest true stories you've ever heard. That's right, we've got real scary stories told by the people that actually experienced them. We've got stories of paranormal peril, near-death experiences, stitches in the space-time continuum, and more. Stories like these.
This person was looking for me. They start to take these long strides towards me. I was freaking out.
We started seeing it everywhere we went. It would be sitting there watching us.
I've never ran so fast in my life.
And it's all set right here at Radio Rental, the video rental shop of your worst nightmares. Radio Rental is available now. Listen 1 week early and ad-free on Tenderfoot Plus.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.